So I am Kate McKnight, and I'm 47, and so I'm going to wear glasses because I can't see. But I am a number two on the Enneagram, and the greatest part about a number two is that you jump to help at any point. So when Kathy was having all these issues and all the things, I was like, Kathy, I will help you. I mean, I'll even teach for you. And you stop when you're number two. The negative is you don't weigh the cost of helping. So here I am today, crazily teaching for Kathy. And it really is an honor. You know, I realize that Kathy gets the prize, because the prize of sitting with Jesus and studying, it really is a sweet gift. And that's what it's been for me this week. And so I am really just an elementary education degree. And so the more and more I studied this, y'all, I realized it is so simple. It is so simple. So we're going to start with going over some review. And y'all, here's the thing. I think sometimes when Kathy talks about the wineskins, like I was sitting there going, okay, wait, what is this wine and where's this skin and what is it underneath all this? Y'all, all it is taking our everyday, ordinary life and saying, God, how can I know you in this? Lord, I'm really frustrated today. How can I know you? And I'm such a visual learner. And so I think about this a lot when she's talking about our old wineskins versus our new wineskins. I think about like a pipe. And in our lives, it's like, you know, think about your drain pipe. Right now, actually, as I speak this, our dishwasher is clogged. So our pipe to go out from the dishwasher is clogged. Y'all, God wants like fresh Drano to come down every single day in me. But what I do is I add frustration and that clogs my pipe to hear from the Lord. I add fear and that clogs it. I add unforgiveness and that clogs it. And so what he's saying is, hey, Kate, let's get rid of all that old wineskins and let's allow fresh anointing to come every single day. And that is knowing God in everyday, ordinary life. So y'all, Kathy has taken this chart for us, and I want you to take it and just simplify it for yourself. You just take an old feeling. That's that clogged thing on the drain, my frustration. And here is the beautiful part, that pause between the old feeling and God says, I don't know if you're like me, but I'm like, give me the to-do list. Give me the checklist. Well, here is your work right here. You take your feelings, you take your frustrations, and you stop in them. That's the part I don't do. I get going with my day, and I just shove them, shove them, shove them. We're going to stop, and this is our work. We're going to say, but God, what do you say? And then one thought at a time, one verse at a time, one prayer at a time, he is going to get rid of our old wineskin and replace it with something new. So in the past, we talked about common wineskins. And remember, she talked about shame. We went through that in the garden. Remember, she started off in the garden, and she talked about shame entered. Then Adam and Eve dealt with, pride entered. Pride cometh before the fall. Then all of a sudden, she ate the fruit, and guess what happened? She experienced shame. She experienced fear. We talked about those three things. Then we talked about offense and unforgiveness. Y'all, the one thing I think about when I think about unforgiveness that stuck out to me so much with Kathy is that unforgiveness is not a feeling. Unforgiveness is an act of faith. God, if I'm walking in Christian community, God is calling me to forgive. Unforgiveness is not all of a sudden I'm sitting here and I cannot wait to forgive this person. This is going to be so fun today. No, it's an act of my obedience. And y'all, one thing we talked about in small group that Mary talked about is forgiveness. It's not a one-time thing. There's a person in my life, and every time she blows up on the text thread, I have to forgive her again. I've done the big forgiveness, but when I see her name, I have to, because I want to do a big old eye roll, I have to forgive again and again and again. So I'm going to take this chart and tell you the Lord gave me a sweet reminder of how I did it wrong, okay? So one morning I woke up recently with an overwhelm. That was my old feeling. I was overwhelmed, okay? So instead of stopping, this is what I did. Kids had gone to school. I was overwhelmed. The day felt very busy. I have three kids. And I know when I'm overwhelmed, you don't walk up the stairs. 3 bedrooms upstairs. When I'm overwhelmed, those 3 bedrooms are not going to give me grace and peace. But do you know what I mean? When you're overwhelmed, you also hear that other voice that says, I mean, but if you could see a before and after, you might feel really in control. Like if you could go up there and clean all of their bedrooms and make it look like, you know, no one lives in this house, you could feel really good, Kate. That could help that overwhelm. My flesh is speaking to me. Do you know what I mean? So I walked upstairs and I started hearing the voices. They don't love me. These little pigs, look at all this junk everywhere. And then it was like picking up one thing after another. They are so entitled. This is ridiculous. Is this what I'm raising? Da, 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 da. And then I came downstairs and Tom texted me, that's my husband. And he said, hey, babe, would you mind picking up that dry cleaning today? Of course. All I do is just all their laundry list all day long for them. And then the kid texted and said, hey, Mom, do I have any money on my card? That's all they want. All they want from me is money. And so instead of stopping in all those emotions, I did the opposite. And the beauty of technology is you have McKnight family text thread. And I let them know. Y'all just think this, and no one cares for me, and do you realize all I do for you, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Have you done that? It feels so good in the moment. Pride cometh before the fall. This was going to feel so good. And so I sat there and thought, okay, I'm about to get my fix. They're going to all make me feel so much better. And what's going to happen is Tom McKnight's going to respond. He's going to say, oh, babe, we love you. And Lawson, my teenager, he's going to do the K, Mom. You know how they write the K? That means thanks, I got it. That K, Mom. And Alice, she's going to send like 5 sweet emojis on the thing. And then my youngest, he's going to send that meme that has like the person doing the heart, you know. And I was like, and then I'm going to feel good, God. Then I'm going to feel good. And guess what happened, y'all? Nothing. No one responded to my ranting text thread that I sent. No, the bubbles. I was sitting there waiting on confirmation from my children. And so y'all, guess what happened? Then shame. Then I heard the voice of, you're not a Proverbs 31 wife. You're just a really negative mom. You just say all the wrong things. You do all the wrong things. You take your overwhelmness and you take it out on them. That is wrong, wrong, wrong. And then came fear. You know that picture of fear in your mind when like you picture your kids sitting on the counseling couch and they're talking about their emotionally, you know, abusive mom that does all those things? Fear came in. And y'all, I wish I had done it differently. I wish I had said, Lord, this morning, I am really overwhelmed. What do you have for me? But instead, I had to go back through, hey, guys, my next test was, will you forgive me? Mom was really overwhelmed this morning. And that's okay. We're not going to do it perfectly. But I could have done what I didn't take. I took my old wineskin and I walked it all the way down this really fun path. I got no affirmation from humans. Imagine that. I was waiting for that. But so instead, I had to mess up and take it down a new path. And that's God saying, hey, Kate, I got you. Hey, Kate, I see you. Hey, Kate, I've called you to be a mom, so I'm going to equip you. And so that's just a small example of what she wants to do with our everyday, ordinary emotions, is to take them. And that you're basically, what I've learned from studying this week, is our emotions are our old wineskins. What we're walking in that just trips us up, that's an old wineskin. That God's saying, hey, let's do it a different way. I love this verse in Hebrews. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. That no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and it may be defiled, and many be defiled. Y'all, that's what we're going to hit on today. So as Kathy always likes us to do, before we start talking about bitterness, let's take a minute right now. And Lord, would you show us right now, is there any relationship that you're not experiencing consistent peace? Take a minute to write that down and really think about that. God, would you show us where is an area that I'm experiencing a lot of angst? There's not a lot of peace. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of brokenness. And now, guys, ask yourself this question. Is it possible that you may have developed a bitter root due to conflict, or maybe just because the relationship is difficult in some way? What is it that's really there that you haven't dealt with? And for time's sake, I know this is something we can always come back on, but are you open today to the Spirit showing you anything inside of you that may be contributing to the relational tension? What is it, God? Would you reveal the hidden thing? What is in the way? And y'all, I'm sorry, I know I don't ever know how much time to allow, but come back to that, because this is what we're going to talk on today, is bitterness. I love the part, the verse in John where it talks about abiding. Abide in me and I will abide in you. And it talks about when we abide, what do we bear? We bear fruit. Y'all, when we have unforgiveness in our lives, guess what bears? A bitter piece of fruit. Bitterness is the fruit of unforgiveness. That's the fruit that becomes produced in your life. The other day I was at Trader Joe's, and they had these beautiful big old apples. And I was so excited. I was thinking, oh my word, Adams McKnight loves apples. I'm going to get him these apples. And so I put three in my cart, and they were so shiny on the outside. And so he came home from school, and I was like, I got you some apples. And I cut it down the side. And it looked so good on the outside. And I opened it up, y'all, and it was the most unusual thing, but it just had this brown bruise all on the inside. And there was even part of it that was still like a perfect apple, but the inside was this brown bruise. And as I was studying this lesson, God reminded me, that's what kind of bitterness looks like in our inside of us. We can look so good on the outside, but the insides of us are not being used. Guess what I had to do that apple? I had to throw it away. I couldn't use it. Y'all, a bitter person that's walking in bitterness, God can't use it. There's kind of a line, there's some tension on the line from you experiencing the Lord. So let's talk about bitterness here. Like I said, bitterness is our fruit that comes from unforgiveness when we don't deal with our stuff. In James, there's this great passage that I've really enjoyed this week, and I encourage you to go back to it. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in gentleness of wisdom. I like the way, gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. The wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it's earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder, every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering without hypocrisy. Y'all, doesn't that feel so much better? The wisdom that comes from above is first pure and peaceable. And so I want us to know that the enemy wants us to sit in that bitterness. The world tells us bitterness is okay. She wronged you. It is okay to be mad at her. But let's remember that getting rid of our bitterness is between me and the Lord. It's not always about that person. It's so that, remember, the Drano can just fly on down. The Spirit can come on in. So here Kathy's going to list for us a lot of the way it feels, because these are our feelings, the way you might feel. So as you read this, with bitterness, you might feel sharp, you might feel cutting. But when you get rid of bitterness, you might feel sweet, agreeable towards that person, pleasant and kind. Jealousy. Y'all, I think a lot of what's underneath a lot of our bitterness is we're really just jealous when we kind of boil it down. I think about my freshman year, there were these really outgoing, cute, cute girls, and I decided from the beginning I didn't like them. Why did I not like them? Because they were really, they had it, it seemed like they were like a step ahead of the game at Ole Miss. I felt way behind the game because they knew people. Their mamas was driving an hour to come spend time with them. They already knew, they'd been at Ole Miss. I'd never been at Ole Miss. I kind of summed them up as I don't like those girls, but really when I think about those girls, I was jealous of them. Jealousy might feel envious. The opposite of jealousy is sympathetic. Oh, I really feel sorry for her. Having goodwill and contentment. And then selfish ambition. Pushy. Let's push our way to the top. The opposite, I love this, is generous. When we're not about ourselves, we're generous about others winning first. It's not difficult to see the difference. Remember, our human nature is to be self-serving. The kingdom of darkness wants to leave us there. In Proverbs 14, it says, a calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. But envy, jealousy, and wrath are like rottenness to the bones. That is what that apple looked like. That visual of that apple will kind of stay in my heart, reminding me that you can look so good on the outside. We are really good at looking good on the outside. But if I'm not going to be used. I'm not going to be good to someone's soul like an apple can be. So y'all, here is the sweetness of how to help us with our bitterness, is our perspective. It's difficult, but it's possible. Y'all, I think about our perfect example of perspective is Christ. Y'all, he didn't sit there and think, oh my gosh, I'm about to have all this. But he didn't think about the pain that was about to come on him. He thought about the joy that was set ahead of him for each one of us. So Christ's perspective of the cross is so different than mine. I would have thought about all the pain, all the people that had hurt his feelings, all the thing. He was sitting there knowing he was going to take it because there was joy set before him that allowed him to endure that cross. Y'all, our perspective is all about our eyes that we can see. Our eyes, changing our point of view. Look at this verse in Matthew. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. Y'all, when we shift our perspective to God's perspective and start to see our circumstances in life from his eyes, we aren't bitter. We start to say, okay, God, this has happened. What do you have for me? Instead of, what's going on? Why is this happening? It's more, what do you have for me, God? This morning, my 16-year-old walked in, and I was sitting. I was like, God, you are so sweet. I was sitting here in front of my book studying, and he was getting breakfast. He had to leave early for school, and I said, hey, Lawson, I'm really going to need you to pray for me. I have to teach today. And he looked at me, and he goes, hey, Mom, you should be honored that you get to teach. I was like, I should be honored. I get to teach. But from the mouth of babe, y'all, he switched my perspective. To see it in a different way. When it rains on vacation, do you say, oh my gosh, it rains. It's raining. It's raining. Or do you say, God, it's raining. You must want us to stay all in the house. You must want board games to be fun. Like, do you see what I'm saying? It's a switch in the way we see life coming at us. So Kathy's going to give us some, the Bible points out three perspectives that can lead to a bitter soul. And the first is comparison with others. Y'all, I think comparison is the trap for every single female the enemy wants us to live in. Comparing ourselves to others. When my son Lawson was young, I had a nephew that was about 2 years older, and I thought he was the greatest thing. So I strived so much of Lawson's young years to make him just like Walton Redden. So whatever he did, we need to be just like, because this is a really good kid. So if they're doing this kind of swim lesson, I need to do this kind of swim lesson so we can be just like Walton Redden. Y'all, guess what? God did not make Lawson McKnight like Walton Redden. They're totally two different people. But I was comparing their lives so much that I lost a lot of joy and enjoying my wild, crazy, rambunctious child because I was trying to make him this introvert, calm kid that sits down easily. That's not who God gave me. I lost a lot of joy with my eyes focused on the wrong thing. In Galatians, it says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you've been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take the responsibility for doing the creative best you can do with your own life. Katie McNeil and I'm going to use her as my example. We do cheer moms together. Y'all, Katie is so good at money and crafts and all those things, and I am not. And I am so thankful that she is my partner in that because I'm not. That's the fresh perspective we need, is that, God, thank you that you made a Katie and you made a Kate. And we are really good at cheer mom together. Good team. Good team. Yeah. You know, God made us all differently, and thank you that he did. Okay, and then this is one that I can live into, is focusing on what we don't have. Y'all, I love the example that I had to call Kathy on this one to give me some info, but I love the example of Ruth and Naomi. Remember that Ruth lost her husband, and she lost her two sons. That is really, really hard. And then she wanted to go travel to the next land. I mean, sorry, not Ruth, Naomi lost her husband and lost her two sons, and she wanted to go travel to the next land. And she kind of was doing, I'm just going to put it in Kate's terms, but kind of like, no, I'll go. I'll just go. Y'all stay back. And sweet Ruth said, no, I'll go with you. I'll be with you. And y'all, Naomi sat there, and in a way, she sat there and was like, well, just don't mind me. I'm bitter now because I've lost my husband. And her focus stayed on bitterness because, and how, I don't blame her. But instead of seeing what God had before and what we know in the book of Ruth is that God was going to provide a kinsman redeemer for her. But she was so focused on what had happened that she failed to see that she had a daughter-in-law that wanted to walk the journey with her. He was going to bring someone that was in the line of Jesus down the road for her. But she missed out on a lot of that Naomi living pleasant because she was focused so much on Mara, what she didn't have. Where in your life are you sitting around missing out on the joy of today because you're so focused on what you don't have? Where in your life are you missing out on your family because you're comparing yourself to another family? And then the third thing is the idea of fairness. My dad used to say for us, you know what? Life is not fair and you're on the good side of fair. You know what I mean? If we stop, we really are. And I think about this in this example of what he gave is that, you know, what happens in this parable in Matthew is that all these guys were working. Some worked for an hour. Some worked all day for the worker, the farmer in the field. And basically at the end of the day, they're like, oh, wait, you paid me 25 cents and you paid the person that worked all day 25 cents. That's not fair. And God is using this parable to say, hey, let me be the judge of fairness. You know, I think about someone that has really taught me so much, it's going to make me teary in this idea, is our sweet leader, Kathy. Y'all, I want to say, God, this is not fair. She is a healthy person. She has had four surgeries. She's having to be at home. This does not seem fair, God. And I'm sure she said that at times. But y'all, every time, I think every leader in this group can attest to it, she's saying, you know what? I've got another surgery. But you know what? God just must have more for me to learn. And then yesterday I called her and she said, hey, Kate, what are you doing? And I said, I'm just blowing and going because my life's so hard. And I said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm just sitting here singing. I'm sitting here singing. Y'all, that's the way she sees her life. God, you must have, even though this feels really unfair, you have me here. I don't want to be that bitter person. You have me here today. So what do you have for me, God? What in your life do you need to shift your perspective and say, what do you have for me here? So a lot of life comes our way, and I think a lot of it is the work that we get to do is the shift of how we're going to see it. So how are we going to put away our bitterness? We're going to do it by sitting with him. We're going to do it by taking it to him. We're going to do it by saying, God, would you remove it? Would you give me fresh eyes to see it? And the same is what happened. Jesus removed our bitterness at the cross, y'all. He is giving us fresh anointing. He's giving us fresh hearts. It's there for us. So in Ephesians, it says this, all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander must be removed from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Y'all realize you have everything in you to walk through this kind of verse. We have all the abilities. It's that part of sitting down to do the work. So, Kathy told me I had to have a testimony. So, here we go. This is how it looked on me when I think about forgiveness, when I think about getting rid of bitterness. It was sweet as I studied this. I saw the Lord has revealed something in my own life. In my 20s, I'm one of four growing up. And in my 20s, I was at a restaurant. It was me and my dad, and I can tell you exactly where it was. It was Porch Restaurant in Crestline Village. And as the two of us were sitting there, and the oddest thing happened, a man walked up to our table, and I think he'd had a kid that had struggled. And he walked up to the table, and my dad's nickname is Pokey, and he looked at my dad, and he said, Pokey, how did you do it? Can you just tell me how you did it? How did you raise four good kids? And y'all, I don't know what happened, what the conversation went or how it went. I don't remember that part. But I think in that conversation, I took on a line and a vow of, you know what, Dad? Four good kids. You must have been a good parent, so you had four good kids. Something happened in my brain at that moment. So fast forward to marrying Tom and having babies. I did everything I could do. And good things. We should. Parenting, we should do all the things. But I think what I was doing, my motivation, was to have four good kids. So I did all the things. I did parenting conference. I remember going to a parenting conference when Lawson was 1 year old because that was going to help me. I bought all the books. If someone said, buy this book on parenting, it is the best thing, I would buy it. I would talk to wiser people. What do you do about this? All good things, y'all. But my mentality was, if I do A plus B, if I do all this work, that's going to equal good kids. And so later, my kids did mess up. Their feelings did get hurt. They did get left out. They did make bad grades. They did make bad decisions. They are making bad decisions, and we walked through hard. But y'all, I would find myself really, really shocked. Lord, I'm doing A plus B to equal C. Why is this going on? I'm going to walk you through each one of those things. I was saying, God, this is unfair. I am working so hard as a parent. Now, keep in mind, I wasn't saying this, but as I've looked back, I was thinking it in my mind. God, this is unfair. We are working so hard. We are intentional. We are doing all the right things, and this is not turning out the way I thought it was going to. I was comparing myself. My kid is not winning awards. Do you see all those kids winning in the awards? What is wrong with us? We must be doing something wrong. We're not winning the awards. I was focusing on what I don't have. I would look at the Bishop kids over there that are beautiful and quiet, and I would say, God, why did I not produce introverts? I want an introvert. I've produced all these extroverts that have all these emotions. They're always pushing to be front of the line. Why did you not give me introverts? If only you give me introverts, they would be good, and I could have handled them. And y'all, guess what's underneath having good kids for Kate? If you have really good kids, it means my job and my life is really easy. I can just like high-five them out the door. Go on. I'm going to go do me. I don't have to worry. That's the lie the enemy tells me. If you get some really good kids and they do all the right things, then, I mean, I'm doing a great job. It's about me. And so as I've done all these lessons, I found myself really, really tripped up in this, you know? And what I had to do love was not flowing between me and my kids, because what I was basically saying is, my formula's not working because it's about me and my good parenting. So I had to go back, as God reminded me of that restaurant, and I had to go back to that little girl that was sitting there in her 20s and saying, God, what were you saying? And what you were saying is, hey, Kate, turn to me. I'll teach you. I'll look to you. I had to forgive God, y'all. Remember when Kathy talked about that a few weeks ago? I've been really mad at God. I've been really underneath it, mad at God, because my formula wasn't working. My picture was not turning out. And so, y'all, as I'm crying out to God, I laughed the other day. I felt like I was Job. Don't you remember when Job is like, God, where are you? I'm going, God, this is not what I thought. All my hard work was going to equal. And do you remember the passage in Job where he's like, God's basically like, okay, God, Job. Now, by the way, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched out the measuring lines? Or was it you that did the foot settings? Or who laid the cornerstone of this earth? Or who created the stars? It's as if God has said to me, hey, Kate, where were you when I knit those kids together in my mother's, your womb? Who's writing their story? Are you writing their story? Or am I writing their story? And y'all, God's writing their story. And so it was, God's like, it's never my goal, Kate, for you to have a good family. Nowhere in the Bible does it say Jesus walked up and said, okay, I want all the good disciples to come and follow me. He said, I want all you broken people who want to know me. And so as I've worked through that forgiveness, as I've cleared out, God, forgive me, I saw it in such the wrong way. I put so much pressure on myself. I thought, this is what I thought as a little girl. I bought the lie that the world told me of what a good family was to look. God has slowly switched my perspective. And as I look back on life, and remember how Kathy teaches us, when you're in the middle, it's not the time to look back. It's later on. And as I look back, it's like God has been so sweet, as he always is, to say, hey, Kate, remember when your child got left out that night and they cried themselves to sleep? I was really protecting them. You thought that was terrible, and oh my word, you never got left out growing up, so what's going on wrong? But what I was doing, God, that wasn't the best fit for their friendships. I wanted to protect them. I wanted to keep them at home. And then when I look back at a certain situation, it say, hey, Kate, remember when the principal called and you thought you were entered in the pit of hell? Kate, she was a believer. Kate, I was using her as another voice for your strong-willed child. And then it's like he said, hey, Kate, remember when your child messed up and got caught? I loved him that much. Guess what, Kate? That night, your child began to read the Bible. Your child began to realize God's word is the only thing that's really going to transform them. Kate, your goal in all those times, you didn't focus on that next facial appointment. In all those shaky times, you surrendered your kids to me, and you came to me. See, Kate, my goal was never for them to be good. My goal is for them to know me, just like the same for you. And the other day, Tom was sitting there, and I think I had a glass of wine. I'm pretty sure I did. It's probably why I said this. But he said, I mean, what do you think about that kid? I mean, no. Do you think he's even going to get in college? Have you seen his grades? And I looked at him, and I said, Tom, all I know is that he knows Jesus, and he has the Holy Spirit. And that's really all we're guaranteed, is that our children know thee, and that our children are knowing him. And I don't know how God's going to use it. But my perspective has to be that I want them to know you more than I want them to be good. So I'm going to end today with, I thought about a verse, thought about all the things, but then I thought about this psalm because it kind of sums up what's happened to me in my journey of parenting. And it says, in the crushing and in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil, I now surrender. You are breaking new ground. So God, I yield to you with my careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. Lord, would you make me a vessel? Would you make me an offering? Would you make me whatever you want me to be? I came here with nothing but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. So God, we thank you so much that you want us to shift our perspective. You want us to stop in all of our emotions. You want us to pause because you have something new for us. Lord, forgive us when we don't. Forgive us when we go about our own way and think we're doing it for the winning prize of the world. Lord, help our goal to be to know you in all of our hard, in all of our good, in all of life. May we know you deeper, Lord, so that in knowing you, we can walk in peace, we can walk in love, we can walk in joy, that our lives won't be like that apple, that they will be freely used and freely given to serve your kingdom more and more. In your name we pray. Amen. You can write your one thing.